This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is good to be with you. I am energized by this Cardinals announcement here with this roster. And I don't know if you are as well. And I'm sure that Cardinals fans, look, I get it. Cardinals fans are the best. They will tell it like it is. And when they're upset, they'll let you know. And they're not happy with this team right now and how things have gone. So, you know, when you make a move, I think the anticipation was that they were going to do the conservative thing. They were going to have Siani in there, maybe put Nootbaar in center field. Not the case. Now, there are some questions that you can raise from all of this, but let me break it down for you if you're just tuning in. The Cardinals have decided that they are going to start Victor Scott in center field. They have announced that he has made the team, and they did it by announcing a few things. One, that Zach Thompson's going to go on the IL. We already knew that. That Jose Fermin is going to go to Memphis. We did not know that. Jose Barrero goes to Memphis, and Michael McGreevy, who we suspected would go to Memphis, is going to start there. So that means that Fermin and Barrero, who both could play infield, outfield, and played a lot of it, fighting for a bench spot, are both out. Lucan Baker makes the team, and Victor Scott makes the team as a center fielder. I have zero issues with all of this, except that you're kind of gambling there without Fermin. You don't really have you have Michael Ciani as an outfielder, and I'm not really sure what he is other than a fourth outfielder. Now, they must think that Brendan Donovan can play all those positions. He can do play second if you need it. If you have a backup shortstop, they'll figure it out. If you have, you know, third base, they can figure out how to back up Arenado, and Donovan can bounce around to all different kind of spots. And if they need to call up Fermin, they'll just call up Fermin. And if they need to add Barrero, they'll add Barrero. But for right now, you know, I'm anticipating a lineup that has Victor Scott in it playing in center field. I mean, that's fun. That's energy. That's excitement. And he has some really good power that he's tapped into. He's not a home run hitter. He's now a line drive hitter who can really thump one if he has to. But he has good plate approach. We know he's a good outfielder. Ciani's a better outfielder than he is. But Victor's a very, very good outfielder. I mean, he's one of the better ones that the Cardinals have, period, at any position. So I think it's exciting to have that, and we'll see how that plays here this week. And I think fans, for the most part, would be satisfied with that and the fact that Matthew Liberatore is now in the rotation. Ollie Marmol telling reporters outside the clubhouse door just a few moments ago, Libby in the rotation, Matt's in the bullpen. McGreevy goes to Memphis. So your rotation will feature the big three that we all knew about, Gray, Fetty, Michaelis, Pallante, and Liberatore. Liberatore has been throwing the heck out of the ball down here, folks. And I think that you saw it last year in a relief role. Well, he wanted to be a starter. He was pumping in some pitches yesterday. I think he threw 71 pitches in four innings. That's a lot. But I think he feels pretty good about where he is. So that's the Cardinals news in case you have not heard. Now, the other part is college basketball that I've been following. And I was watching last night. I was thoroughly entertained by Rick Pitino and John Calipari going head-to-head in that St. John's, Arkansas game. It was such a great game. But it was also a frustrating game because the officiating was taking over in the second half. There were a lot of fouls called, and it was just bananas. I mean, that game was just nuts. And St. John's looked off to the point where Rick Pitino benches R.J. Lewis, his best player, the Big East player of the year, for the last 5 minutes of the game. I mean, that is just – I'm sorry. You can explain that all you want, and I get it. If a guy's not playing your game and you don't want him out there, then that's fine. But I just found that to be so different that I was flabbergasted. I really was. And I've seen a lot of hoops, but Pitino sticks to his guns. That was classic Pitino. You don't play his style. You're not ready. If you don't feel like he's ready for the spotlight, he just benched him. And St. John's, as it turns out, ends up with a loss. They're done. A lot of people picked him to win it all, including me. But Arkansas wins, and John Calipari's in the Sweet 16 again. Calipari, Pitino, former Kentucky coaches, and Kentucky will be playing Illinois today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you that this Illini team has a very good chance. Now, Kentucky is what it is. It's a big brand, but it's the first year with a new coach. And Pope is a really good coach, but it's the first year with him. It's their first foray, if you will, into the NCAA tournament together. Brad Underwood is a tournament, grizzled veteran. Now, he has a new group, of course, but he's been down this road before. Pope has been down the road, I mean, as a player and a coach, but I have a sneaking feeling that Illinois is going to win this game today. And on top of that, I think Illinois, when they play really well, they are scary good. Am I saying that they could go to the Final Four? Well, let me put it to you this way. If they win this game today, they're going to be in Indianapolis. And Rick Barnes would be who they're going up against. And Rick Barnes is one of the top five coaches in America, I think. And Tennessee is a great basketball team. But he has not had great success advancing in the tournament for whatever reason. I think Illinois wouldn't be scared for 1 second of Tennessee and would take it to them and give them a heck of a battle in Indy. The other game, Houston and Purdue, could be a good one. Purdue will have a lot of home court advantage there, but I see Houston getting it done. And then Illinois will have a bear to try to take down Houston. I mean, they are phenomenal. But this Illinois team is awfully tough. I think they can be a little unpredictable sometimes, so when it goes bad, it goes really bad. But when it goes well, I mean, they are really fun to watch. I think they've got a chance here with if they spread out the scoring today. Find a way to spread the scoring out. You don't need one person to take this game over. Illinois is a high-scoring team, and so is Kentucky. So get ready for a game in the 80s today. But you know who the number one rebounding team in the country is? In the country! Illinois. Number one in America is Illinois. And that will be the difference in the game today. Illinois averages just under 40 rebounds a game. And I like them today. I like them to beat Kentucky, so we'll see if I'm right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some soccer. Lutz Pfannensteel is sporting director at City. He went up against his old coach last night, Bradley Carnell, and old coach got the better of him. Philadelphia beat St. Louis 1-0 up in Philly in Major League Soccer. First loss of the season for City. We'll catch up with Lutz next on KMOX. Welcome back, Jupiter, Florida, for the final time. The Cardinals are packing their bags after the game today against the Nationals and heading north. They'll be in Memphis tomorrow for a game, an exhibition game against the Redbirds, and then it's on Thursday as the Cardinals will take on the Minnesota Twins at Busch Stadium. Meantime, St. Louis City SC just getting their season started. They are now five games into it, and for the first time, they have dropped a contest. They lost yesterday to Philadelphia 1-0. And joining us on the line is their sporting director, Lutz Pfannenstiel. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing well. You'll be back at Energizer Park on the 30th, and that'll be 1 week from today against Austin, a time to kind of collect yourselves and try to figure out what you needed to do to be better. Let's talk about it a little bit in that game yesterday. What did you see in the Philadelphia game that you'd like to improve upon?
Yeah, to be honest, it was disappointing. You know, we never really played our game the first half. We played against the wind, and Philly really used it very smartly. They put a lot of pressure on us, especially the first few minutes with lots of throw-ins, lots of set pieces. They didn't let us breathe. And, we didn't really defend that well. I think it sums it up if I say our three best players were Ben Lund, our goalkeeper, and Ben Lund again. So that's not a compliment to the rest of the team, to be honest. I think we didn't defend too bad, but with the ball, creating chances, just was not good enough, Tom. And that's something to work on now, you know, in the next week. Obviously, the red card of Edu Leuven in the 65th minute completely killed it, because then it's very hard to play against a team which we knew well, which we know Bradley Connell very well. We know exactly how they play and what the match plan was and what we had to expect. But sometimes you need to go on the field and you bite back and you need to fight back. And if you go there, play and think it happens by itself, then you're walking away with a loss, and that's what happened yesterday.
What is going on in terms of possession? It looked like that number was pretty low. In fact, I think it was the lowest number you've had.
Yeah, it was the lowest one so far. I mean, you know, we never were a big possession team, and we don't really have to be and want to be a big possession team, because the turnovers and the transitions are our biggest moments. And I think yesterday we just could not get hold of the ball. We struggled with the aggressive approach Philly had. And you know, to be also very complimentary to Philadelphia, they had lots of players on international duty. They threw in younger guys with not that much MLS experience, and they played for their life. They fought. If you're looking at player by player, well, I would say we had a better first 11 on the pitch. But that's not how professional football works. You know, you need to be out there, you need to perform. And if it doesn't work, you need to grind. And that's what Philly showed us yesterday, how it's done.
Edward Leuven gets a red card. He had two yellows. I believe they were like 11 minutes apart. And he was very close to being subbed out, wasn't he, on that last one?
Yeah, that's the tragedy here. That, you know, it was basically the last moment when Edu would have come off, and we would have had the opportunity to play 11 against 11. And foul off from Chris Durkin, and Edu basically is frustrated, and it's very obvious to see also if you rewatch the game, and he just has this little kick out and then kicks the ball away, and the referee makes that decision. Hard decision, because it was not like that he shot the ball away over miles. But if the referee sees it that way, then it's fair enough. And Edu is an experienced player. You know, he's not a kid anymore. So I think that's where you have to own your mistakes. And he knew that it obviously had an impact on the game. But again, you know, not one to blame here now, Edu Leuven, because we didn't do well as a team. But that's all things which coming into the playing a big role in the final result. And yeah, I have to sit down this week, because it was a good start, but yesterday it also showed that we have a lot of work to do in the coming weeks.
And I watched it down here in Florida, and you know, the first part of the game I said, well, you know, they look pretty good to me, talking about your team, because you know, they're prepared, they know what Bradley Carnell for the most part is going to throw at them, and it looked good, didn't it? I thought the start of the game was good.
I don't agree on that one, Tom. I thought the first 10 minutes, 12 minutes, we didn't look, I would say, too focused. They ran over us. They got their set pieces. They scored out of that one. And then I do agree with you. After we were 1-0 down, we slowly got a bit more ball control, a bit more control of the game, and it wasn't completely disastrous. But you know, I don't like to use this word a lot, but I have to use it today. I felt that we were harmless, and that's not a good word. If you're a professional soccer team, you don't want to be labeled harmless. You need to be out there, and you need to always have the feeling that we can score. And this is our big strength last year and also this year early on, that we always looked we are able to score out of nowhere, or we look dangerous in moments where we finish a counterattack. Yesterday, we were harmless.
Yeah, no, that's a word that you don't want to use, for sure. No, you're right. I mean, I think the very beginning of it, maybe the first 10 minutes of the game, just did not look like it was in your like you normally do. And then, you know, kind of found your footing there, I guess, is more of what I mean. And there was more hope, I thought, that you were going to get it done, but definitely not in the beginning. So how do you rectify that now? And tell me a little bit about Austin and what you have here on March 30th.
Yeah, Austin, you know, they did spend a lot of money in off-season, have a new coach, so lots of changes. They're playing today, so I can watch them very nicely today on the couch. Actually, I can't. I have to watch City 2, but I will watch it after. They play against San Diego, so that's a hard test for them as well. They started off, you know, they haven't scored many goals, scored two. They haven't conceded two. So it's a team which is still trying to find each other when it comes to the rhythm and when it comes to knowing each other. Plenty of new players. But they did spend a lot of money and they have big expectations. So it will be a tough one next Sunday. But I think for us, it's all about the reaction now, Tom. You know, coming back and being beaten in Philly. And of course, there was a bit of an emotion involved as well. And you play against your former coach. Now it's time to really work hard and week this training and this whole week and be focused in what we want to do at home. I think it's obviously always different the way you set up, because the crowd expects you to be on the front foot. They expect you to create. They expect to attack, and that's what we want to do. And, so it's really up to the players and up to the coaching staff this week to get it out of their system, what happened yesterday. And, I sound like now I'm just coming from a funeral, but we only lost one game so far, so it's not all that that dark like I make it sound right now. So having said that, now I'm actually smiling. I'm looking forward next week, a big crowd again in Energizer Park, and you know, the crowd will push us forward, and I hope we get that result we want to against Austin next week.
Well, you have high expectations for this team. One last thing, is it still the same with Roman Berkey? Is he still a couple weeks away from returning?
Yeah, there will be no changes in goal. You know, it takes some time. We know it's public that there is an injury, and it will still take some while. But having said that, and I'm glad you asked me, because you know, I mean, it's also not the right way now to look and say, oh, when is Roman Berkey coming back? We have to deal with that. He's injured. He's our captain. It's not good. But the way so far Ben Lund performed in his last two games is absolutely amazing. He kept a clean sheet last week against Seattle. He did amazingly well yesterday, as I said, definitely our man of the match by a mile. So I'm not really too worried right now about the goalkeeper position. And Ben, you know, we believe in Ben, and Ben shows what he's capable of. So I think it's more for us now not to cry about Roman Berkey, but to really celebrate how well a goalkeeper like Ben Lund have done.
That's well said. You are fortunate to have Lund. He was very, very good. Lutz, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate this. We'll see you get back at it a week from today against Austin.
Yeah, I hope I will sound a little bit more happy next week, Tom.
Oh, look, I mean, I appreciate you. Thank you, Lutz. Lutz Fantasy.
All right,
with us.
Cheers.
You know,
thank you.
Thank you. Not fun to lose. And losing as Bradley Carnell in Philadelphia get the better of St. Louis 1-0. First loss of the season for a city. They had not given up a goal all season up until that match yesterday, 1-0. We will take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll reset what this Cardinals roster is going to look like for 2025 and get commentary from John Mozeliak right here on KMOX.
KMOX.
Back here in Jupiter, Florida, Cardinals and Nationals about to get going at 11:55, 12:05 for the first pitch. The Cardinals wrapping up spring training here in Jupiter and heading north to Memphis, where they'll play an exhibition game, and then it's on to St. Louis for opening day on March 27th. Joining us is Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Mo, thank you so much for all the visits down here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning to you. Well, let's talk about the roster. It's now official. It's out there. We had the Cardinals putting out their release and Ollie Marmol discussing a few things with reporters. So now let's get your thoughts and begin with the big one that I think everybody was wondering. What will center field look like? That answer is VS2. It's Victor Scott II.
Yeah, I think the last 72 hours we've been thinking a lot about what we want our club to look like. And, you know, you think about spring training and you don't want to like treat it as like a tryout. It's, you're dealing with professionals, you're dealing with people that, you know, have experienced a lot of baseball along the way, but it was hard to deny how well he played. And I know last year he had a great camp, but I think the game was moving really quickly on him when we actually broke camp and got into the regular season. Whereas I think, you know, he had a very like purposeful off season. He worked on a lot of things, and I just feel like he's looking at this game a lot differently than where he was a year ago. And so, you know, I feel like he earned this opportunity, and I think he's going to make the most of it. And so, yeah, our outfield, I think that really solidifies it. I think it's now means Newt's going to see, you know, more action, specifically in left, and Siani will move into more of that fourth outfielder and defensive replacement type role moving forward.
Right, with Jordan Walker in right. And what was the decision in doing that, having Siani in that spot and moving Fermin and Barrero, for that matter, to Memphis? Would I assume that you like the ability of Brendan Donovan to fill multiple spots?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, obviously it might not be, quote, like the perfect roster, but it does give us some flexibility to see how things play out in the first few weeks. And really, you know, based on how people have played, we want to give them that runway we've talked about from day one. But we also feel like there are some guys that had really good camps and we want them rewarded for it.
And Lucan Baker, the big thumping bat off the bench. That is something I think that you all wanted, wasn't it, to have some power, that ability?
Yeah, it's hard to deny. He had a great camp. I think he's one of those classic guys that, you know, doesn't want to get pigeonholed into that 4A player or, you know, stuck at AAA. I think he really has nothing left to prove at Memphis. But, you know, ultimately we'll see how he does in a bench-type role. And, you know, excited for him to see what he can do on a more regular basis.
As first base becomes, of course, Wilson Contreras, Alec Burleson can play it too. You certainly have seen that, haven't you? He actually has looked pretty good, and so has Contreras over at first base.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, those guys will flip-flop between DH, first base, that type of action. You know, ultimately, you got to remind yourself that baseball is a very long season. You play 162 games or 187 days, and so you're going to need to give guys breaks. But, you know, I think these guys, they definitely swung the bat well from the first base side. I feel like, you know, Contreras could have a really exciting offensive year for us.
And then one last position question, if you would, and that is Nolan Gorman. A, what did you think of his spring? And B, where do you see him contributing mostly for you?
Well, I definitely think he's going to have to move around the field a little bit. He could also fit into that DH role from time to time. We are going to we're going to do our very best to get him those at bats because we definitely want to try to accomplish that this year. And obviously, the first month, there's going to have to be a little bit of patience because we want guys to sort of get into a groove. But obviously, Ollie and his staff are very thoughtful in that, and hopefully we can make that a success.
John Mozeliak is with us on KMOX breaking down this 26-man roster. You indicated a while back that Matthew Liberatore was going to be stretched out, that he is going to get some looks. As it turns out, that does put him in the rotation. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on on what this rotation, whether it's a five-man or a six-man, looks like here in the month of March and April?
Well, I think early on we can get through the first couple weeks with a five-man, just with the off days we have. And then ultimately I think we'll revisit that, and it wouldn't shock me if we insert Matt into a starting role as well. So the key thing there is when you go to a six, obviously you're shortening yourself somewhere in the bullpen, but by doing so, you might be able to protect your starters a little better by giving them a little more rest. I mean, it's no secret that our industry is seeing massive amount of injuries over the last few years. And so anything we can do to protect players and give them rest, I think, is in everybody's best interest.
Your thoughts on Michael McGreevy as he goes to Memphis to be the ace of that AAA staff? That's a pretty good-looking rotation, actually, in Memphis, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, here we are saying guys that, you know, earn spots or pitch well, but I mean, he did everything. He was great. I mean, the other day up in Port St. Lucie, it was really impressive how efficient he was and how effective he was. So, you know, I think he understood that the numbers weren't in his favor, but he also understood that things happen. And Michael McGreevy will see St. Louis at some point this year, and it may be one of those things where once he sees it, he never turns back. So really excited what we saw out of him this camp, and I think he'll be a major contributor moving forward.
He teams up with Quinn Matthews at Memphis, and McGreevy, what more can you say about what he has done as the makeup of a person? I thought you accurately described that. And then when it comes to the bullpen, it does seem like you have some firepower there. I mean, I'd like to think that you're going to do the same with Ryan Helsley and give him some days off, so you'll have some candidates to jump in there in the ninth inning, won't you?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously, managing a bullpen is one of the hardest things to do in the game, but trying to keep Hels on that exact track he was on last year will be our goal. And then I think, you know, the emerging stars there are really, you know, what you're going to get out of somebody like a JoJo, Fernandez, Roycroft, all guys throwing the ball well. Leahy might be someone that we'll see maybe used in multiple innings from time to time. But overall, we feel the makeup of our bullpen is really strong.
The Cardinals will be packing up here and heading out. And then one final thing for you. We've talked about this in the past, but we say goodbye to the Cardinals clubhouse and complex as we know it in Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. Just if you would, we don't have to go too far into detail. We don't have a ton of time, but your overall description of what that may look like here over the next year until we reconvene.
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think people that are down here, this is going to be a construction zone. We're still going to have our Florida State League playing in here, and they'll work out of the minor league side of the clubhouse. And then there'll be a lot going back on behind the scenes in terms of, like, out by the quad, new batting cages will be built. We're going to build a kitchen where the current batting cages are, and then we'll build a performance center that's right off this building in the area of where our current Major League bullpens are. So there's going to be a lot going on here. But, you know, real quickly, just I couldn't help but, like, walking through here this morning, just thinking about, like, being here back in 1997 for the first time, being here when it opened in 98, and just, you know, how many, like, wonderful memories this place has been. And I do think for Cardinal fans, Cardinal players, Cardinal staff, this place is going to be a massive upgrade over the next couple of years. And I think it's, you know, something that's awesome, that's well needed. But as I look back at and sort of thought about, like, my memory lane here, it's been so much fun to call this home for 2 months a year for the last close to, what is it? He's 26, yeah, 27 years. So, I'll be a little, like, melancholy probably when I walk out of here tomorrow morning for the last time as far as it is, but knowing that this place will look pretty sharp here in the next couple of years.
I'm sure it's emotional in a lot of ways. A lot of stuff's gone down in there, that's for sure. No question about it. A lot of decisions, a lot of relationships, and a lot of time as John Mozeliak has been president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, not only since 07 as the general manager, but a long time working in that front office. John, thank you so much for the time this morning. We appreciate it. Thank you for the information on the roster. Good luck today against the Nats, and safe travels up to Memphis.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you. We'll see you Thursday at Busch Stadium for opening day. John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations on KMOX. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you something very exciting about KMOX that we are going to start at midnight. It is going to happen tomorrow. The radio station is going FM. We're going to keep this AM signal. Don't worry. We're going to be on 1120 AM and that blowtorch, which touches 44 states across the country. But 104.1 FM is a big move for us. Not only that, but we have adjusted our lineup, and we will reveal that to you next on KMOX.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The 100th anniversary of KMOX is at the end of this year. December 24th, 1925 is when we went on the air for the first time. And tomorrow, to celebrate that, and this is something that, you know, we could have done in the 90th, 91st, 92nd year. It's been a long time coming, but it did not happen until this year. It has been approved. It is happening. It is happening at midnight tonight. KMOX will be available on 104.1 FM. That's right. KMOX will be on 104.1. In fact, you're going to hear it on the radio station being referred to as 104.1 FM KMOX. We'll call it KMOX. We'll call it the Voice of St. Louis. 104.1 FM KMOX. Now, 1120, which many of you are listening to right now, will remain. So you'll still be able to hear your games. You'll be able to hear your content on 1120 AM. It's a major signal that goes all over the place, and people certainly will be taking that in. But we are going to go 104.1. Now, I had some people ask me, now, wait, weren't you already on FM? You used to say, you know, what, 98.7 FM. That is true. A 98.7 FM is an FM translator. So that's located downtown, and that does provide a signal up kind of the heart of the city and through the central corridor of the region, but it does not have the power to reach the entire region like 104.1 does. That's a different animal altogether. So 104.1 FM will reach the entire St. Louis metropolitan area. 98.7 will become Hot 98.7. They will take Hot 104.1 and make it Hot 98.7, so it'll still reach a good portion of the area, but 104.1 will reach the entire area. And we will simulcast KMOX on both signals. Now, that doesn't mean that we couldn't change some things down the road. You might hear one thing on one and one on the other. That's, you know, yet to be determined. But for right now, you will hear both on 104.1 FM and 1120 AM. And as I mentioned before the break, we have changed the lineup a little bit. So starting tomorrow morning, Debbie Monterey will join me from 5 to 8 a.m. Megan Lynch is also part of that show, Total Information AM. She will carry the show until 9 a.m. So from 5 to 9, you'll still hear the voices of myself, Debbie Monterey, and Megan Lynch. Then beginning at 9, we will go to Chris and Amy. Chris Ranji, Amy Mark Scores, the Chris and Amy Show will go from 9 to noon. Starting tomorrow, and this is where it gets fun. So at noon tomorrow, we are bringing in the Gas House Gang, the show that we have put on YouTube and social media and that has reached nearly 100 episodes of Cardinals content. This will be on the air, and it's going to look like this. On Monday, Chris Ranji and I will host it, and we'll be joined by John Rooney. He'll be jumping in for a segment or two. On Tuesday, Ranj and I will be joined by Bernie Miklas on the show. On Wednesday, Ranj and I will have a guest, and we look forward to talking to many of our former Cardinals and other baseball guests. Thursday, the Gas House Gang is Chris Ranji and Bernie Miklas. And on Friday, Ranj is joined by Mike Claiborne, with John Rooney jumping back in again. So Monday through Friday from noon to 1 is going to be a Cardinals show, and that's not the only one. Starting on Monday, we are changing our afternoon lineup. 1 to 5 will be the Dave Glover Show, as it has been for a long time here already. Then from 5 to 6, we are bringing you the Redbird Rush Hour. The Redbird Rush Hour will lead into Cardinals games often, going into Cardinal baseball pregame. The Redbird Rush Hour, which will also feature news and weather and traffic put in there as well, but it'll be the Redbird Rush Hour with Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauley. And Bernie Miklas will join that show as well. That's 5 to 6 every day from Monday through Friday, the Redbird Rush Hour with Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauley and featuring Bernie Miklas. And then at night, we'll go back into Sports Open Line, Cardinal baseball, whatever we may be bringing you that evening from a sports standpoint. So it's an exciting time. We have changed the sound of the station a little bit. We certainly have changed the clarity with 104.1 FM. And we look forward to all of you kind of getting your feedback and listening to it. Make sure, here's a good thing. If you're in the car right now, go ahead and preset it. So, because you're going to need it tomorrow morning. So go ahead and hit that preset, 104.1 FM. Then it's done. And then you have K1F to search for it. Then you have KMOX up on your stereo. So that's really exciting. Really looking forward to that. Again, and this spring training report sponsored by Norm's Bargain Barn, Wilkie Window and Door, and by St. Louis Composting, Growing Gardens and Making Memories. Here are the changes that the Cardinals have made before we take you to Cardinal baseball today, and the guys will talk about this a little bit during the broadcast. Victor Scott II is going to be your center fielder. Michael Ciani makes the team also. He is going to be a fourth outfielder with Newt Barr in left and Walker in right. Jose Fermin and Jose Barrero have been sent to Memphis along with Michael McGreevy. And the middle infield backup shortstop is going to be Brendan Donovan for the time being. They also have Lucan Baker coming off that bench. And then the rotation looks like this. It's going to be Miles Michaelis as the three. Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty, of course, are 1-2. But Michaelis, who's been here since 2018, is the 3. Andre Pallante is going to be in that rotation, as well as Matthew Liberatore. He has made this rotation with Steven Matz in the bullpen, but starting in mid-April, they can expand that into a 6-man rotation and get Matz starting as well. But he'll be a long man for now. It's an interesting move that the Cardinals have done. I think a lot of fans are on board with it. This is KMOX.